On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina.
Everybody, I'm here with Hasael Wesson of the Houston Astros organization. Wes, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate your time. Tell the listeners about yourself, if you would, please.
Yeah, you know, thanks for having me. And for me, I'm a guy from, I was born and raised in the Dominican Republic. I played baseball my whole life here, up until I was a student in college. I played baseball here in the Dominican until I was maybe 17, 18, and then I moved to New York to go to school there and try to, I was just living with my uncle at that time and just trying to get a scholarship to go to the school. And I met a friend there that was going to a junior college in Oklahoma. And he, you know, told me to go there with him and got me, you know, some tryouts and stuff. And ended up working out for me, played 2 years there and then transferred to a school in Alabama and finished my degree there. So, you know, every time it's just been related to baseball. My family's just baseball everywhere. My brother's a scout for the Astros too. So, yeah, I've been with the Astros for going to my 9th year now. And, yeah, that's pretty much a little bit about myself.
So I want to get into your journey because obviously, you know, everybody says they have a unique journey, and that's not to downplay anyone else's, but I would say yours is really fascinating journey from the DR up into the big leagues. But one, before we get into that, I didn't know that you went to JUCO in Oklahoma, Alabama. I'm sure the vibes and the lifestyle were definitely way different there than in the Dominican, for sure.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the first 3 months were tough, like, for me to adapt. And just, you know, eating different food, because I moved to New York, but New York's like being in Dominican, you know, like it's 80% Latin. So it was like living at home. But when I moved there, I was like, that really like opened my eyes in a lot of different ways of like how to act in front of certain people and just, you know, understanding cultures a little bit better and how people worry about their business every day was completely different than here. And that's where I really like learned how to be a man, you know, just being a JUCO. You know, JUCO is like, it's you hustling every day, you grinding, and you're trying to make a name for yourself. And I didn't play high school or anything in the state, so I was trying to get a scholarship. So I was doing whatever I can to make sure that all the schools know my name and things like that. But, you know, going back to my journey, yeah, man, it's sometimes I think about it and I'm like, it's funny that I'm talking to you right now, because the first team I worked for was the Red Sox in 2014. And I was just doing an internship there. And Jesús Alou, I'm pretty sure you heard his name. He was in the Dominican, here in the Dominican Complex for a long time with the Red Sox. He got me into the – I used to go every summer and play in the Tricky League. And when I was off from school, I just come here and play every summer. And, you know, I would play there. I remember my old Margot was on that team with me, and I played with him for like 2 summers. And I used to go back and forth every year, and that's where I created a relationship. That where I finished my school, he told me, "Hey, you know, if you want to come here and just learn everything," I was not just doing the strength conditioning. I was doing everything. I was scouting with, you know, a couple of days a week. I was doing player development. I was doing BP. I was doing everything. And I was on top of that. I was doing the strength conditioning. And that's where I really like found in love with, you know, with the strength conditioning. So I was like, man, this is really a job that you can do. And of course, myself, I was a guy that always was in the weight room in college and just trying to, you know, I enjoyed being in the weight room every day. So that's where everything started. It was with Boston in 14. you know, things didn't work out. And at the end of the summer, they didn't have a spot for me. So 2 weeks after that, you know, a friend of mine that worked for the Astros, he called me and was like, "Hey, we're looking for a guy here. Are you willing to come and just, they want to give you a job. They just want to try you and see how you work in 2 or 3 weeks." I was like, "Yeah, no problem." So I started with the Astros in February 10th or of 2015. And I just 3 years in the DSL, 1 year in low A, 1 year in high A. In 19, I was the Latin American coordinator for a year. Then in 2020, I was supposed to go to AAA Round Rock by the time that was where the Astros were. And, you know, COVID happened, and I ended up doing the taxi squad in Corpus Christi. And last year was my first year in the business, but before that, I was in Sugar Land AAA. So I've been in every minor league level. And I think just like yourself, you've been in almost every level. I don't know, but it's just, it made me understand things a lot more and just appreciate things a lot more than, you know, I started from the bottom, basically.
Yeah, the only level for me, you know, is not the DSL. I have never been to the Dominican. And yeah, I've said it probably a zillion times on this and to my friends and anybody that's willing to listen, like, I need to get down there. I really need to get down there. And I connect really well with a lot of the Latin players. And I've learned enough Spanish to be, you know, comfortable having conversations with them. And I can pick up what they're talking about and everything. But I've never been down there. And, you know, you talk about when you first came to the States and then you went from New York to Oklahoma, like that big culture shock. Like, I think everybody needs that to go down there to really, like, understand. And I've talked to so many people and, you know, you hear the stories and you kind of have a picture of it. But until you see it and until I see it, like, I don't know. Like, you don't know what you don't know. And yeah, it's kind of that, like, that culture shock of, like, oh, okay, this is where these guys come from. Like, this is why baseball means so much to them, and this is why they're so passionate, and like use this as fuel to their fire, so to speak.
Oh yeah, yeah. And you know, for me, before I got the job with the Astros, I remember driving with my dad around all the complex with my resume, and I went to like 10 different teams, and I just gave him my resume. At that time, I thought that's how baseball worked. But it's not how it works. So, you know, nobody called me. And that was when I was like, man, this is really hard to get to work in baseball, especially in the Dominican. You have people waiting in lines just to get a shot to work for an academy and be there because they're really good jobs. So, you know, you're right. I mean, when I started with the Astros, our waiting room, man, it was really small. We had up to like 120 players at the complex at some point. It was 3 strength coaches. I had to coach 18 to 20 guys at one time in the weight room. I had to late stretch for like more than 40, 45 guys. Every day was a spring training stretch. So things like that at the end of the day is what makes you better. And just when I went to the States and I went straight to low A from the Dominican, I'm coming from the Dominican just being with guys for 72 games. And then I'm going to low A where we play 142. And I was like, then I'm starting having first round picks, second round picks. And I started changing my mindset as a strength coach and just understanding the game better. Now you got to think about recovery more than what it was when you were in the Dominican. It's just more specific. Each guy is very different. And that's where I really started understanding. But, you know, it was just prepared me so well to go to the States and just understand everything, man. I wish everybody can go through it like I did, but, you know, I think rookie ball helps a lot too, and just being able to understand the basics and just we did the basics so much here that, and I got so much, like, so many coaching reps on me that I feel like I can go to work anywhere else right now.
Yeah, and so, you know, to put this all together, you start all the way in the DSL, you make it to the big leagues. This year is your first year, 2022. And you are, correct me if I'm wrong, you're the first Dominican-born strength coach in the big leagues, right?
Yes, yes. I was the first to work at AAA, and I was the first to to work at the big league level. First born and raised Dominican strength coach. Juan Acevedo used to be working for the Guardians for years. He used to work, I think he worked 1 year in Double A. He's Dominican. He was born and raised here. So he's the second guy that has worked in the at the higher levels as a strength coach. He's still working with the Guardians, I think, in low A's. So I'm the first one.
And definitely won't be the last, right? And that's something, you know, I texted you about, you know, one of our guys the other day, and just, you know, being an inspiration to other people, man, it's a really big deal. And especially with how important baseball is in the Dominican, I don't think that can be, you know, really explained enough. It's just, like you said, it's baseball is everything down there, right? Or at least it seems that way. And it's like, if you're not going to make it as a player to the big leagues, you have to find another way to get to the big leagues, right? And there's people waiting in line to just take jobs and just prove themselves at any jurisdiction of work down there.
Anything, clubby, strength coach, manager, pitching coach. I mean, at the beginning of when I was with the Red Sox, I wanted to be a scout, you know, and I wanted to get a job as a scout. And I got an offer from MLB here. I don't know if you know, but MLB has like, they go around the Dominican and they do tryouts, and they just teach people and coaches how to coach baseball and how to play baseball to the little kids. So they have scouts here that go around the South, the East. So they offered me a job as a scout. I ended up saying, oh, because when I went there, I saw how a job as a strength coach was. So it's like, that's where I want to be. I want to be that. And I want to be a scout. And I didn't feel comfortable in the stance, just, you know, seeing a guy and just making assumptions. I'm not that type of guy, because I feel like I put so much effort and work in this game, and I never was the player that I wanted to be, but it's just hard for me to be in the stands and just look at guys and make assumptions. So baseball in the DR, people think and have an idea of how big it is until you come here and you see it. Like, yes, 2 days ago I was at a elimination game with Lisey and then Gigantes in the winter ball. And it was like 25,000 people. And I've been in the World Series, and I've been here, and that stadium here with just 25,000 felt like it was a lot more pressure and louder and crazy just every time. So, yeah, man, we just have baseball in our blood here. It's part of us.
Yeah, it's an awesome story. And, you know, we had recorded that the Group Houston one, and I know we talked about, like, hey, we've been talking about getting you on here, and this seemed like the right time, right? And I think that's the perfect way to describe it, right? Is we've talked about it over the years. I know you've reached out to me, and I, to be honest, I've dropped the ball to be frank, but like it lined up perfectly with this, right? Like this is a story of perseverance and hard work and ultimately triumph that hopefully is inspirational to other people. Like you said, for me, when I was a kid, I wanted to play in the big leagues. When I realized that wasn't a dream anymore, it was, all right, how do I get to the big leagues doing something else, right? And it's inspirational to a country that is so, like, into baseball and loves baseball. Like, all right, try to make it as a player. Do it as long as you can. And as soon as you can't, like, find another way there.
And, you know, like, I would love to see 3, 4, 5 years another Dominican. And if not Dominican, like Venezuela or Puerto Rican, you know, to very few of us. And that's the reason why, you know, sometimes I do an interview here in Dominican or I go to a radio. And that's the reason why I posted on my Instagram, because I remember it was a guy from Mexico that works for the Mexico winter ball team there. And he reached out to me saying, like, man, I just saw your interview. I would like to be, you know, the first Mexican strength coach to just work in professional baseball at a high level one day. So I tried to help him out to do some, like, internships with a professional team. And he's trying, you know, he sent me his resume, and I'm talking to different guys. So, you know, that's the reason why I post an interview, so a guy like him can see it and just feel like he has hope of doing things like that. Because when I started, man, like, I remember the guy that gave me hope, it was Max, was Team Max. I talked to Team Max and the MLB conference they do here, and Matt Crouch. I talked to those two guys, and that was, for me, when I talked to those two guys, I was like, man, I can really do this at the big league level. And I remember seeing videos of Matt Crouch on YouTube where he used to work with the Rats and showing the wave, and I was like, man, that's really cool, man. So for me, those two guys opened my eyes in a lot of ways. So now I want to do the same for some guys here in the Dominican.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that, just in the sense, even with this podcast, right? It's like I heard a long time ago, I heard Carlo Alvarez speak on the Elite FTS podcast, and that was what piqued my interest in professional baseball. And, you know, ironically enough, he was the first person to hire me in pro ball. And, you know, I've always just thought that, you know, if somebody hears an interview that I do with somebody and they're really passionate about baseball and they reach out and they want to get in, like, that's a win for baseball, right? Because then you have people that are coming here that want to be a part of it, that want to experience it and want to push the limits. And I, you know, over the, whatever, the last 8-10 years I've been a pro ball, whatever it's been now, like just the growth of, you know, full-time strength coaches. And now even for us, we have an assistant at every affiliate, right? Like the strength and conditioning has grown so fast.
Yeah.
And, you know, you and take a step back.
A dietitian too.
Yes,
like, you know how hard it was to make sure you have food for everybody and low A and high A, make sure you do the catering. Mm-hmm. Strength coaches nowadays don't know about that. A lot of them do, because some teams still do that. But I remember, man, I used to have a duffel bag full of cash because there was no credit card that would, so I had to collect money from every player. And I need $5 from you for the post game. And all right, there you go. So, and then going to the gym and paying cash and doing things. So it was, I look back now and I'm like, man, that was fun. But that was what really made me a good strength coach. That's why I feel I go to the big leagues and I don't take anything for granted. Not even the water that we have. You know, like for me, like I just look at everything like I'm blessed. I have a picture right next to my office that says, Don't forget where you were 5 years ago. And, you know, next year I'm going to put a six. Don't forget where you were 6 years ago. And next year I'm going to put, you know, so just remind myself how to be, you know, thankful for what we have at the bigger level, because we really spoiled at that level.
Yeah, I have, I still have my original stopwatch from my days with the Pirates, and it has my whistle on it. And I get, you know, guys wear me out all the time. Dude, why do you have a whistle? What are you using it for? And it's like, well, one, please don't put your mouth on it because it's a very old whistle, right? And two, like, this is to remind me where I came from. I started in Bristol, you know, in Tennessee in the Appy League. Appy League's not even around anymore, right? And it's like, I can remember some of the just crazy things and thinking back on it. And like you said, it was fun. Sometimes at the time it was frustrating, but ultimately, like, it teaches you to like be adaptable. And then when you have the resources, like you combine the skills that you've, you know, developed over the years in the minor leagues with the resources of the big leagues, and it's like you just take off, and it takes your performance to a new level, and it helps the players reach a new level. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, 5 years, like, you know, we put our nose to the grindstone, we don't think twice about it. But if you take a step back and think about 5 years ago where professional baseball was, you know, there's a lot of optimism that in 5 years, like, there should 100% be another Dominican-born strength coach in the big leagues, or like you said, Venezuelan, you know, somebody from Mexico. Just, it's just growing so fast. And it's really exciting to be a part of that, right? Like, you hear some of those guys that have been around, and you know, back in the day, we had, like, soup and crackers, right? And now it's, like, every minor league affiliate's getting catered, and it's, like, where can we take this to really push the limits of human performance and baseball performance. It's an exciting time.
Yeah. It was, I mean, I remember in the Midwest League, having $270 for post-game spread, pre-game and post, and just having to think about what I can get to these guys with that money so they can feel like they eat something, you know, like, And then you're like, man, it's not a lot you can do with this, but you know, you talk to the, and that helps you create more of a better relationship with players. Because I remember I used to tell them, I used to create a menu before the road trip and just put it on the clubhouse, and they would go and approve it. So if they thought it was trash, they would be like, no, like, I can't do this. So we would just joke around about that. And I would just, yeah, it just helped me. Now some of those guys I would meet at the big league level, and I'll tell them, like, hey, remember when we were in Beloit, you know, playing Oakland and low A, we didn't have post-game spread. We just, you know, have to go to the concession stands and eat food sometimes. So things like that is what really I tell the young strength coaches too, is don't be afraid to go through it, man. Don't, you have to have a special mindset to make sure you stay in this game for a long time, and you got to be adaptable. You got to be adaptable. And I remember Maxie saying to me in 2016, I never forget this. He was like, 50% of our jobs is motivation. So you got to show up every day. You got to show up every, and we have families. Some of us have kids, you know, and we have problems and we go through things, and we got to bring the energy. And that's number one. You don't have to be loud. You don't have to scream. You don't have to hit your head with nothing. You got to be professional, but you have to bring the energy. Because in 17, when I got the, you know, promoted to low A, my brother was diagnosed with cancer. The same week that they told me that, my brother was diagnosed with cancer. I was like, damn, man, how I'm going to do this? Like, how I'm going to help my mom and my dad just to go through this situation? And it just, you know, I wish my, the guys helped me out to be strong. Because if I probably was here in the Dominican, I would probably, it was probably going to be a different outcome. I would probably, you know, got the press and things like that. But being with the guys, being on the field, being in baseball, it just remind me and just teach me how to, you know, probably forget about it, what was happening a little bit, and just make sure that I had the energy for the guys. And I talked to them. A lot of them knew by the time the season was over. But things like that happen, and you got to make sure that you're on point with everything that comes in the season. So.
Yeah, at the time that we're recording this, you know, I don't know when it's going to come out, but it's right around the corner to spring training, right? Today, January 13th. And, like, the amount that I am looking forward to spring training this year and being able to see these guys and interact with them, and they have no idea, like, how much they also mean to us, right? And, like, we mean a lot to them, and we take care of them, and I know, you know, most or all appreciate it. But at the same time, like, they mean a lot to us, and we spend so much time with them. And like you said, sometimes it's just, we all have family stuff. We all have individual stuff. And for me, when I go to the field, it's like, it's almost easy for me to leave that behind me and just escape into the world of baseball for 8, 10, 12 hours, whatever it is. And then, you know, you go home and you address what you have to address. But it's like, those guys for me, like, they keep you young, they keep you on your toes. Like, you never know what they're going to do. And like, every day is an adventure. Like, I go in, I'm like, all right, what's going to happen today that I was not expecting or I have never seen in my life, you know? So
yeah. Yeah. And at the big event where you get that too, you know, we have a lot of guys that are clowns that we look, joke around every day. And it makes you at least smile a little bit, even if they don't know what you're going through. So that really helps, you know, the locker room. I remember I read a book about the ex Giants, New York Giants head coach, Bill Parcells. And he says, and this is 100% true. He said that a locker room is a laboratory of human behavior. So what happened in your locker room is what your team is going to be in the field. And I could not agree more to that, especially after last year that I saw it. I was there and I was like, you spoke it right. Like, if you guys get along well, you will have success. And some years, yeah, you probably won't, because that's the game. But majority of the time, you will be fine. Even if you stack, like me and Taylor, we get along. I don't have a problem with it. I never had a problem. Yeah, we probably don't agree in everything that he said to me or I said to him. but we treat each other with respect. You know, our dietitian was in the same room as us, so we were really close to each other. So we never had a problem in the entire time I was there.
Yeah, and I feel the same. Kiyoshi and I mean, everybody that sees us is like, do you guys ever like separate from each other? It's like, no, like we don't get sick of each other. We get along really well. And, you know, you try to model that, right, for the other departments and the other groups. And, you know, the hitting coaches see how well you get along with the other strength coaches. And then it's like, all right, well, we need to be better and we need to communicate better. And, you know, you just try to be the model of what makes a culture so successful. And, you know, you try to be available for the guys. And like I said, there's something in me that really does enjoy being around the guys. And I think, like you said, you have to have a special mindset to really stick in this game and understand that, like, these long days are every day, right? There's no days off in spring training, none, maybe one, maybe. And usually somebody's got a live BP that day, so you got to go in anyways, right? So it's like, to be able to look forward to that every day, a lot of people don't understand it, right? My wife is like, I just don't get it. But I'm happy that you're happy and you do what you got to do, right? And so sometimes it's hard, like people just don't get it. And it's a special mindset, like you said, to stick around. But the people that have it are really the ones that do stick around, do make a difference, and like really just take everything in and just appreciate it. And like you said, like you don't take anything for granted. You can't, like where you came from, where we came from, like you look back on those days and you're like, you know, we got essential water now, we got smart water. And back then we were drinking, you know, tap water, you know, we might not even have water at the you know what I mean? Just, you learn to appreciate everything. So I couldn't agree more with you on all of that. And it's awesome to hear that journey, man. It really is. And even if one listener gets inspired and, you know, 10 years down the road, I'm interviewing them and they say, hey, I listen to you and Wes talk about this. Like, that's what sparked it for me. Like, dude, that's a huge win.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're right.
So we've talked a lot about just a bunch of different things, but is there one story that you have that is your favorite in professional baseball? I mean, I know you won the World Series this past year, but is there one that really makes you smile or there, you know, you're really proud of from over the years?
Yeah, I mean, people probably think it's the World Series, and that's like top. But for me, just growing up and I spent a lot of time in New York, and just going to Yankee Stadium as a little kid, old Yankee Stadium, new Yankee Stadium. When we won that game in fourth against the Yankees on the ALCS, for me, I talked to Vasquez about it when the Red Sox won the World Series, and he told me when he was catching those last three outs, he started having he thought he was having diarrhea, and on the field, his stomach just got so upset, and I had the same thing, man. Like, I was standing on the bench, I was so nervous, just getting that third out that I almost go inside and fucking. I was like, let me calm myself down. And I just enjoy it so much because I had family, a lot of family going to those games in New York. So for me, just winning that game there and just celebrating with them after the game, it was that my best story in baseball career.
Yeah, Yankee Stadium is just an unreal place, man. We were there this year when Judge was chasing, you know, the home run record, and just the tension in the air, and anytime you have the ball in the air, that place is just so loud. And so when we didn't play in 21, we played them in the playoffs, but we played at Fenway, which in itself was an absolutely amazing environment, unbelievable game. But I would love to be a part of, you know, playoff games at Yankee Stadium and just experience that environment and what it's like there. And
Fenway is one of my favorites too. Fenway is just special, and just, you know, just it's just different, man. Everything about that ballpark is different, and the fans are crazy. It gets so loud, and that music that you guys play after you start a run, I hate that. I forgot the sound of that, but just I told Vasquez, I'm like, Vasquez, I hate that. What is that you guys play?
Oh, that means they're accomplishing their goal, right? Oh, yeah, they're upsetting the opponent. So what do you believe in within strength and conditioning that others think you are crazy for believing?
Sometimes, and I will never get tired about talking about this, but some strength coaches and trainers and PTs or whatever, when you talk to them about the importance of a prep routine, a lot of people take it for granted. A lot of people think it's not necessary. I've seen guys stick to prep routines and their entire career change. And it's just very small pits, you know, a very small percentage of your career, but it can help you in so many ways to just stay on the field and be ready, be able. You know, a lot of guys don't understand just being able is, you know, it's number one for a lot of managers and coaches. So for me, what I try to teach each guy that I have, even if a guy that comes from AAA or it was a guy that came from rookie ball when I was in low A, hey, we got to know it. We got to learn how to have a prep routine before going to practice and before going to the game. You have to be on point with that. You have to be on top of that. What I talk about prep routine is very simple. You know, you have to activate. You have to move around. You have to stretch. You have to throw some mat balls. You have to, if you want to do a bike, we can do a bike. If you want to, you know, push the slab, we push the slab a couple times here and there. And that's it. It's just make sure your body is ready and not tell your body that the first movement that it's going to make is going to be swinging it back when you go to the cage or go outside and take ground balls. No, you got to be ready. Make sure your body is awake. And when guys do that, I've seen Michael Brantley doing it for 3 years. This was the first year that I was around him the whole time, but seeing him in spring training and a little bit of time during the playoffs. And just that guy is just, he's a perfect example of just what a prep routine can do for a player and just help. It can help your career in so many ways. It's just basic things. So a lot of people think I'm crazy because I think like that. And I think it's just lifting weights or running outside. I think everything started there. And I learned that from Brendan Byrne, the guy that used to work for us. He works for the Miami Marlins now. He was the one that taught me that. And at the beginning, I didn't want to listen. I was like, nah, man, I think we need to do this. And I was like, hey, just do this, do that, do this, and you'll be fine. So that's one thing that I have that I believe in.
You know, it's funny you talk about this, and actually you know, I was just at Fenway with Yosh and we were talking about this type of stuff and, you know, refining some of our thought processes on the prep routine and, you know, have a Zoom later to talk with our AAA guy to go over this as well. It's like, I agree with you wholeheartedly in the sense that because professional baseball is a daily game, like that may seem like such a small part of the day. But that small part over a long period of time adds up to something really, really relevant and really important. And the more that you can refine that process for the players, I think the better it is, right? Like whether it's general preparation stuff, like you talk about, you know, activation, mobility, whatever, whether it's specific stuff, throwing med balls or, you know, specific movement programs or even like talking with hitting and pitching coaches in the sense of like, hey, this guy's going to have a bullpen today and we're going to work on this, this, this. Can we just get him ready to go, right? Like, I think creating that. And the other thing is a lot of these guys are so routine oriented and, you know, the game is just, it's the same thing every day, right? Like, it's just Monday every day automatically. It just depends on the city you're playing in. And I think if you treat it that way as like, hey, today's Monday again, like knock it out the way you would every day, I think that goes a really long way with guys. And like you said, it can be career changing. I've heard guys talk about, you know, when I was younger, I used to just show up, get in the cage, hit and go play. And then a veteran took me to the side and showed me how to really prepare my body. And it changed the trajectory of my career. And I used to have this conversation with guys in double A, and it was really hard to like get through to those guys as like, hey, you're 20, 21, 22 years old. Like, I know you feel like Superman now, but if you want to stay in this game and be 28, 29, 30 plus, you're going to have a routine. Well, I'll address that when I get there. Like, okay, I understand. Again, you're Superman right now, but if you get ahead of that, if you get ahead of that now, like you won't have as many ailments moving forward, or hopefully you won't, right? Like, and if you do, you'll know how to take care of yourself. So I think it is. I think it is something really vital in baseball.
And again, I go back when we talked with Taylor the other day. Like a great example is Vasquez. You know, when he showed up to us, he had his prep routine. His every day I need to do something. And he told me, he said, "This changed my career. When I started doing this, everything changed. I felt better and everything started. I was starting moving well." And I go back and it was a AAA. Just giving some of your guys an example, I had Hector Velasquez, the Mexican pitcher, who was with Kilty, I think, when the guys won the World Series. And he told me the same thing. You know, showing up every day and doing something. I remember one of my happiest days in minor league baseball was when I was in AAA, and I think it was June, July. I had so many guys in the weight room. It was like the whole team was there. Every day, just practice before practice. And it was a point where I told the manager, I was like, "You know what? It's 105 degrees outside. We're not going to have a pitcher stretch. We're going to do everything here. We go outside, we play catch, we run, and we come inside again, because you know, Texas can get real hot in the summertime. And we don't have a roof, everything, triple A, turf, whatever." And we started doing that. We had a great year, man. Like, great year. We finished first in our division. Everybody was throwing hard and healthy. So for me, like, I love to see guys just do something before going outside. It's really small. People take it for granted sometimes. But yeah, I mean, you as a self, as a strength coach, you're going to work out. And try to work out for 2 months without even prepping or doing something, and you're going to feel it. You're going to feel it. Imagine playing 9 innings every day. What's going to happen to your body? So that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, 100%. One, I love Hector. I would train together in the offseason in Arizona. Just the best of the best. Yeah. But, yeah, it's the same, you know, for us. Like, one of the first things when I came to the big leagues in 21 was I wanted to get rid of pitcher stretch. And it was like – that was – I didn't – because you know how it is. The guys go out, they get in their circle or they get in their lines. They kind of half-ass it. They talk. Like, they do a little, and then they're on their way. So my proposal to the pitching coach and to Kiyoshi was like, we don't do this. We have kind of an open time frame to go outside, but the compromise is they have to come either see the athletic trainers or us or both, depending on the guy, and have their specific preparation routine prior to going out. And then the idea being that they have what's needed for them to get ready to go. And then when they go out, they can go full go throwing program. You know what I mean? And some of those guys, it is just like doing an actual dynamic warm-up, you know, skips and you know, shuffles and some sprints and things like that. Some of it is specific mobility drills. It can be med balls, it can be water bags. Like, it's for us, it's been a really good tool to help with buy-in, in the sense that, like, hey, instead of doing this generic team group thing where like we are giving you all the same thing, we're expecting you to come in and get some individual one-on-one attention with us. And so that we can give you whatever we think you need to get ready to go have a really good practice. Right. And that's kind of for me, that's my big hill that I stand on. Right. Is like, you talk about transfer to the game, and it's hard to justify that from the weight room. But if you can make the quality of practice better, the more frequently you practice at a high level, the more likely it is to transfer to the game, in my mind, right? So how do I do that? I help them prepare as best as they can to have a really quality practice. Instead of a general warm-up and then hope that they have a good practice, we actually have a specific routine for you so that you can go out, have a quality practice, and then hopefully that transfers to the game. That's where my mindset is at with that, right? And it's helped us with buy-in to get guys to do things on a daily basis. And then the other thing is, like, the more that you create that routine and that habit for them, on the days where they don't feel like doing it, it doesn't matter, right? They still come in because it's mentally it's there already. They're like, I got to check in. I got to take care of this. And we don't want to like, we don't want to create dependence. We don't want to create them being like, you know, slaves to the routine, quote unquote. But I would rather have a guy that's like too invested in his routine and have to pull him back as opposed to like no routine and he just shows up. And the guys that don't buy into that as much stick out a lot because so many guys are doing it a certain way. And the pitching coaches know, like, hey, these guys are all taking care of their stuff. Why aren't you in there? Like, you need to go in there. A lot of it is like the AAA kids when they come up, right? Because they haven't experienced like the way we go about doing things. And then they're like, oh, we don't have stretch? No. Oh, but I can do my own routine? Yes. Oh, okay. That's actually, that's even better for me because then I don't have to like rush myself through anything. I can do what I need to do and get out there. So it's been a really good, it's been really good for us the last 2 years with the pitchers. I don't know if I'm supposed to say all this stuff, but whatever, like there's no secrets, right?
It's fine. I would love to. I'm trying to do the same thing. I'm trying to be honest with you, but you know, change, you know, to change things after you won a championship is even tougher. So
yeah, change is hard in baseball sometimes. It is.
Yeah. So, you know, but that sound right there, like me in AAA, I didn't have a pitcher stretch or anything. It was, you come in, I had a big screen, a TV, where I had conditioning for the day for each guy, and I have stretch time for position players, pitchers lift, each guy that had, you have up the same, actually have upper body with me. So it was very specific and everything was there. So I was always available in the weight room, but we didn't do a lot of the stuff that usually you do in high A, low A with those guys. So I'm with you 100%.
Yeah, and I think it's probably level to level specific, right? Like you don't want it to be a total free for all in the lower levels, and then you know, you have to try to. But by the time they get to the big leagues, most of those guys have some sort of routine for themselves. And even if they don't, like you provide them something. Hey, I talked to the ATs; they think you're limited in this range of motion. I talked to the pitching coach; he thinks you need to work on this. I combined all of this. Here's what we think is going to help you to maximize that, right? And like they're bought in instantly. Like, oh, okay, yeah, makes total sense. And like you said, we have a whiteboard with, you know, the different conditionings and the stretch times and, you know, any meetings, all of that is written down for the guys. We have their lifting cards with their routines and everything. Like being over prepared, and this is something that Kiyoshi talks about with our staff a lot, is like being over prepared and creating an environment where they want to come in and they feel that you are giving them their individual attention helps so much with buy-in. And then that guy buys in, and then somebody else who he's close with kind of sees what's going on, and then they're interested. And then you got a whole group of, like you said, you know, 20 guys in the weight room at the same time. And like, those are the proud moments for us, right? Like
100%. Yep.
All right, everybody, that's going to conclude part one of this two-part episode with Wes. I hope you enjoyed this one. I mean, his journey is just unbelievable. It's incredibly inspiring to hear him talk about just, you know, being the first Dominican-born strength and conditioning coach to make it all the way to the big leagues and to have worked in every level and started down in the DSL and winning the World Series in his first year in the big leagues is just really an awesome story. But also, I think the content in the episode is really good, especially when we were discussing prep routines for players and, you know, just the value that that can have for players over the length of their career. So three things that I took from Wes in this one: acquire as many coaching reps early in your career as you can, treat everyone around you with respect and appreciation, and teach players the value of having a good prep routine. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.